Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Obamacare is a dagger aimed at the heart of religious freedom in this country.
I think that the health care law is really important. I believe that health care is a human right.
We're praying that this visit of the Holy Father help the Cuban people move towards a future of hope.
If I can show you the resurrection of Christ, a historic, grounded fact, then believing that God created the heavens and the earth, piece of cake.
My name is Mark, and I am a home health physical therapist. And while driving in between patients' homes, I love to listen to Issues, Etc.
Well, on this Friday afternoon, March the 30th, might as well be the end of March, because next week is Holy Week, and we know that's a very busy week for a lot of people. There's traveling, there is the celebration of Easter that approaches, but before Easter, we have the all-important days of this Holy Week. We're going to have some great programming on Issues, Etc., by the way, coming up in Holy Week. And on Easter Sunday, I'll let Jeff tell you a little about this in a minute. We're going to have did you call it the resurrection the other day? The resurrection of Lutheran Public Radio? I don't know. I might take issue with the analogy there. But we'll just call it that for the sake of argument. The resurrection of Lutheran Public Radio coming Easter Sunday for the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's a very exciting time here at Issues, Etc., but we still take time out on Friday, as we usually do, to respond to our listeners, their email, and their comments on the Issues, Etc. comment line. That's what we'll do here in the first hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon. A little bit later, Issues, Etc. blog of the week. No soundbite of the week this week because we got two great guests to bring to you. First, Dr. Cameron McKenzie will join us. We're going to talk about church and state, making a distinction, but not a separation, not the way some people think of a separation nowadays. Then Dr. David Adams is going to join us. Tomorrow, the church is going to be remembering Jacob the patriarch. He gets a lot of ink in the book of Genesis, even though he's kind of, if you look at him in the grand sweep of things, Joseph. Joseph doesn't get a lot of play after his story is over. He's got this big, very dramatic story that's told in the book of Genesis, and then it's not like he even gets his own tribe. Well, he gets two, but he doesn't get a tribe that even bears his name. We'll talk with Dr. Dave Adams in the last part of Issues, Etc., about Joseph the Patriarch, remembered tomorrow by the church. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Did you want to say something about Lutheran? Jeff has been sitting in my office all day long, and I got to see, Jeff and I have worked together for how many years now? 12, 13, I don't know.
It's been like 98?
Yeah, so going on like 15 years. And Jeff's office has always been adjacent to mine wherever we worked.
And That's not true. Initially, you were downstairs and I was upstairs at KFUO Radio.
Oh, that's right.
I had the big office.
You had the big office. Oh, I remember that now. Then they moved you downstairs so that we were just separated by a really thin wooden door. And then, and now he's right behind me where there's no connection between my office and his, but he's right behind me. We've worked in very close proximity, but he's been working so hard to get ready for the resurrection of Lutheran Public Radio, and the International Center of Lutheran Public Radio is here in my office. It's very sophisticated. It's very it's just top of the line everything. I mean, we re-carpeted in here. It's just been remodeled. It's unbelievable. It's just palatial. And so Jeff is in here.
No purple.
No purple, no. But the International Center of Lutheran Public Radio is about 3 feet away from me, and Jeff has been working all day long. And I've got to see how Jeff works. He talks to himself. Have you ever noticed this, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Craig
knows
he just talks to himself under his breath all the time.
And so stupid.
And see, he can be tapping at a tapping and typing at like breakneck secretary speed. It's amazing to hear him type. It's like it is the fastest typing I've ever heard. And he could be talking to himself at the same time while one hand typing, one another hand feeding in CDs. He's answering questions from me, from Craig. It's amazing to watch him work. It really is. And I got to see it just firsthand today, which actually brings me to something. Adrian Dorr emailed me earlier today.
The managing editor of the Lutheran Witness.
You know, she emailed me and she said that the Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne Cantori, is that their men's choir, is going to be in town in April. And she wants to, it was cute. She said, can they come over and sing in your studio? Now, I don't know, but I don't think it's a small choir. I think it's a really big choir.
We could fit like a barbershop quartet. That's about it.
A barbershop quartet of midgets we could fit in here. And that would be very close. So I just wrote back to her and I said, we'll see what we can do. Have them in the studio if they're in town. But you are seriously overestimating the size of this facility, as most people do. They overestimate just about everything about issues, et cetera. But we'll see what we can do. We've actually had choirs back in the KFUO days. We had choirs in singing for us.
We used to do Sunday night nationally syndicated radio shows. Those were really some neat shows, and the choir members always enjoyed it because we let the mic go around and tell them their hometown, where they were from, and you know.
So we did hymn studies with live music.
Yes,
those were the days. Well, we could probably try doing something like that, but it would. I guarantee you we're not getting the entire Cantori, even in all three offices here. It would completely fill it up.
But we are very excited about Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, coming back on Easter Sunday, hopefully. And we're working on that diligently, 24/7.
Jeff's working on it. Craig and I are just watching him work on it.
No. Believe me, you guys will be getting calls next week. Help, computer problem. But we're excited to invite everybody to tune in at LutheranPublicRadio.org 24/7. Invite your fellow parishioners during Holy Week to tune in as well. Excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Huge music library.
If you liked what you heard during Easter, during the 12 days of Easter when we had sacred music for the Christmas season, this is sacred music for the world, and it's the 50 days of Easter. We can't be exclusively Easter music because there's not as much Easter music, but we're going to be Easter and sacred music all through the 50 days of Easter.
All right, let's get some email. This is Michael in Canada. He said, while I was over in Egypt, Jordan, and Israel at the beginning of March, I listened to the series with Pastor Timothy Meck discussing pastors and elders and have not had time to respond until now. I thought it was a very good series, but I have one beef. When asked if women could serve as elders, the answer was given basically, no, it would cause confusion. That may be, but it is not a particularly good reason. There are many things we do in our church that could be argued cause confusion, but we do not cease the practice on that basis. So if the congregational office of lay elder is not one mandated or even mentioned in the Bible, how is it that we can so assuredly say that women cannot serve in this capacity? The congregation in Christian Freedom may or may not have lay elders. Is it simply in Christian Freedom that we declare that women are unable to serve as lay elders also? That seems like shaky ground to me and could very well be turned back around and argue that in Christian Freedom, one could have women serve in that capacity. Furthermore, the practice of doing away with lay elders was described as a lamentable practice in the series. However, if in Christian Freedom a congregation is free to have lay elders or not, why is this lamentable? In truth, I think it could be argued very strongly that the office of congregational lay elder has done more to cause confusion in Missouri Synod circles over the office of the Holy Ministry than most practices among us. As far as I can tell, there was no such congregational office among Lutherans until Walther brought it about in Missouri Synod circles, and in doing so, he had to defend himself from accusations of being Reformed. Perhaps, if one would argue that women should not serve as elders because it may cause confusion, one could make the same argument for having elders at all. By the way, in the parish I serve, I have elders who are all men, and I am thankful for them. Lutheran Church Canada does not allow for a woman to serve as an elder or a congregational president, and I would not encourage a practice contrary to my church body's position. However, I think we ought to have good reasons for holding such positions, and I think it could be a good area for continued discussion. He concludes, P.S., I am glad to hear Todd cleaned the bathroom. Thanks for listening in Canada, Michael.
Thank you very much, Michael. Well, you make a very good argument. Sad to say that, it wasn't in the most recent convention, but I think it might have been in the next convention back, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod did approve in some form or another that women could serve as elders, presidents of congregations, things like that. And those were in the days when the Missouri Synod was still being kind of pushed in a less than – in a risky direction. And I think, frankly, a less than Lutheran direction. Now, I don't know if that's going to be undone. I certainly hope that it would be. The confusion, you are quite right to point out, really lies in what we mean by elder. So because it means just about anything any congregation wants it to mean in their particular circumstances, to say something like women can be elders is a kind of ludicrous statement. Because in some cases, that would mean that a woman might be preaching in the pastor's absence. And some of you might say, well, what would be wrong with that? Oh, there's a great book just landed on my desk that we've talked about recently, Women Pastors? In its third edition, I believe, from Concordia Publishing House. It can answer that question for you. But it is, you've put your finger on the problem. It is a confusion over what an elder is. And it is not a mandated office. It's not something that has been instituted in Scripture by Christ. So it's one of those things that the church can or can do or not do with a clear conscience, although I think it is wise to say that even if the church didn't have elders, they need to have some formal way of holding the pastor accountable to his call. And however that's done, sad to say, in a lot of cases, when congregations of the Missouri Synod ilk decide to get rid of elders, it is precisely to prevent the pastor being held accountable to his call. Usually it's replaced with kind of a sycophantic group of yes men handpicked by the pastor. Bad idea. I'll have a little bit more to say on that on the other side of the break. I think you're right in what you said. Stay tuned.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. Issuesetc.org and click support.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India, Sweden,
Egypt, France,
Turkey, Japan,
Australia, Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. One more thought on, was it Mike in Canada? He was asking about women elders, and look, the reason that we simply didn't stop and work on that problem with Pastor Mack in the course of the series, I thought it required about one question: should women be elders? And his answer
While not a complete argument against, I don't think it was ever intended to be a complete argument or treatise against women elders, I thought it sufficed. That's why we moved on from that. Here's the problem. It's a far greater problem. And I can speak only within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's context, because that's my context, okay? The problem is this. The move, and I would think it a very transparent move, that we made about 5 or 6 years ago to permit women to be elders was not about women being elders. It never was, and everyone knew what it was really about. It was really about inching toward women being pastors. That's what it was about. It was not about opening up office and service and places where women could do this and do that in the church. It wasn't. Now, would anyone at the time have admitted, who was a proponent of this, that it was really about inching toward allowing women to be pastors? No, but that's the nature of error in the church. It never presents itself honestly at first. But make no mistake about it, that move was about getting women closer to the pulpit. And here's how the math would have worked had it been successful and had that particular leadership of the Missouri Synod remained in office. It would have worked like this. Let's give it some time, 5, 6 years, maybe 10 years. And then we're going to start talking about women being in the pulpit and at the altar. And the whole basis for the conversation would have been, well, we let them serve as elders. We've done that. What's to stop us from doing this? Kind of like the pushy boyfriend saying to his girlfriend, well, come on, you let me get to second base. Why don't we go all the way? And that's how it would have worked. So the greater problem is that the Missouri Synod has this sickness of compromising by 1,000 little cuts. And then every greater compromise is built upon the lesser previous compromises. Well, we've done this. We did that. We let this slide. Imagine your teenage son coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning when you told him to be home at midnight. And his excuse is, well, Dad, come on. Last week I came home at 12:30 and you didn't even yell at me. So it's that kind of childish logic that error often uses in the church. And that's a greater problem. And so the problem, I take back what I said before the break. The problem isn't so much the office of elders as it is that we have simply, it's been laissez-faire. It's been let every man do what was right in his own eyes. And we have simply let everybody kind of go their own way. And so in some congregations, the elders are practically pastors. In some congregations, they're more like church trustees. And so you say women should be able to serve as elders. I'm not saying that the emailer said that. Someone says women should be served as elders. Now, wait a minute. Let's talk about elder is first. We can't simply say that. I think that's all I had to say.
All right, this email comes from Eric in Pennsylvania. He says, is Satan omniscient? The reason I'm asking is I can't understand how he influences people. I can't fathom how he gets into human minds if he is not omniscient and don't believe there is biblical evidence that he is. He is only one of many angels that were created / fallen, and they are not omniscient. So how does he infiltrate our minds? Is it only because God allows it? If so, then, why does he permit him and not other angels? Is it a way to benefit us, or is it the product of our sinfulness? I know God must permit it, so why? Maybe this is the same question as asking why does God permit evil? But it is something that bothers me and really caused me to question God, or at least contributes to the mythical existence of good and evil. I know that this is not a typical question, but one that came to me nonetheless. That's why I thought you would take it on. Thanks, and thank you for listening in Pennsylvania, Eric.
First of all, answer to your question, Satan is not omniscient, nor omnipotent, nor omnipresent.
What does omniscient mean?
Omniscient means he knows everything. Omnipotent means he's almighty. He can do all things, and omnipresent means he's present everywhere. Now, the last one needs a bit of a qualifier there, because angels are not omnipresent as God is, as far as we can tell, but they are also not local beings. So the mode of their locality or illocality is a bit of a mystery. As to their knowledge, Satan is obviously very knowledgeable in some things. Some people will say, well, Satan has learned a lot. He's had, 10, 12,000 years of toying with us to learn how we work. And I think that's probably a fair assumption, that like any other creature in this world, he learns. He has learned. He's exceedingly clever. There's no doubt about that. He is called in the very first time we meet him in serpent form in the fall. He's called, and I don't think this is the author's commentary on the species of reptile, but upon how Satan took this form. Now, the serpent was the most subtle of all the creatures that God had made. And he's a liar. And he's a good liar. I mean, he's good at it. So, apart from the issue of whether or not how he gets into our minds, we don't know. We do not know. We don't know the mechanics of how angels work. But we know that Scripture says he does. He tempts us. He doesn't often, I don't think he has to work that hard, to tell you the truth. James, when James talks about that cycle of sin leading to death, he doesn't even include the devil in it at all. He says that it's sin and our own evil desires and the temptation and our desire for evil. And he doesn't even include the devil in there, but the devil obviously is included. Now, you do need to bear something in mind, and that is the devil's defeated already. So you're quite right in saying that whatever he does do, he is permitted to do by God, because he's already defeated. He's already bound. He's bound and defeated at the death of Jesus. So whatever he does do, he is permitted to do by God, but God has his own reasons for permitting this. Remember, the promises of God are far greater and far more powerful than anything the devil can do to you. So if the devil is permitted to act in a certain way, rest assured that even that is for your good. You might say, well, why does a God permit the devil to go on tempting us or trying to hurt us? Well, he's using the devil, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Even when he permits the devil to do what he does. One thing is quite clear. While we ought to be wary of him because he is our enemy, we do not need to fear him. What does Luther say in that hymn? One little word can fell him. The word of God is kryptonite to the devil. He cannot stand up against it. Take your refuge there.
Hi, this is Isaac Duke in Olympia, Washington. And I'm responding to a comment about repentance where someone said, you know, confusing confession and absolution of repentance. And Tom Wilkins' comments were great. I just wanted to recommend an article by James Nestigen, I believe it was from the early 90s, called Preaching Repentance. And he opens up the article by saying, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, because I'm on the scene, because Jesus is on the scene, therefore, you can't help but want to repent because I'm here. So turning it around where, you know, as we don't want to preach gospel and then at the end of the story say, yeah, but you got to repent. Anyway, take your comments. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your comment. Was he in the steel mill or some kind of aviary of wild birds? It did get quiet towards the end. Yes, and I haven't read the Nestigan article that he makes reference to, but when Jesus says repent, what is it that Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He says when Jesus calls a man to come and follow him, he's calling that man to come and die. And that's a death that is also a life of repentance. And Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do sinners do in the presence of the holy God? What does the presence of the holy God rightly work in sinners? Repentance. But it's also great and good news for sinners as well, because that repentance is there to serve God's greater purpose of bestowing forgiveness. And in a lot of ways, for the Christian, it becomes we don't repent so that God will forgive us, because that's not how the math works with God. He does not forgive us because we repent. We repent because he forgives. If you knew that God was great and holy and mighty and a judge, but would never forgive you, why repent? Why not just duck and wait for the judgment? But he's ready to forgive, therefore we repent. We'll be right back. That's not the way it feels.
Operator, could you help me place this? If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel. You don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is a special Life Issues update. Obamacare before the Supreme Court with Brad Mattis.
The last day of oral arguments by the Supreme Court on Obamacare showed just how aggressively the law forces itself on Americans. Under the plan, Medicaid is hugely expanded to accommodate expenditures. States are offered enormous amounts of money to implement Obamacare. But if they refuse, they'll not only be denied these additional Medicaid funds, they'll also be stripped of all other Medicaid funds. It's coercion by the government. Now that the court's deliberations on Obamacare are done, I'm prayerfully optimistic the mandate won't stand, including parts of the law closely tied with the mandate. I wouldn't go so far as to predict the court will overturn all of Obamacare, but I'm hopeful the heart will be taken out and Americans will be better protected. Please keep praying.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans.
Issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through listener email and Issues Etc. comment line. Jeff is just quivering on the other side of the glass with the email ready to read.
You know, people who listen to the show for a while know how much I dislike being on the radio. So I don't sleep Thursday nights knowing I have to read email on Friday. We've got two quick emails from Helen. She's listening to us live in Austin, Texas. She's talking about women elders. She says, elders in every church I have been in supervise or are supposed to supervise worship practice and correct the pastor if necessary. Women don't belong there, even though I've watched some elders decide things that the ladies group would have done better. And then she also says, this is the issue of women's elder in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It wasn't just about getting women to the pulpit. It had the salutary Willow Creek attitude effect of driving some confessional pastors who wouldn't have it in their congregations out of the ministry.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's true. And of course, that's the other edge of error's progress in the church, is it's kind of a way of clearing the room. Because in the end, I mean, the proponents of error, while they play nice and they act, you know, they have their nice smiles plastered on their faces most of the time. Just get them alone in a room sometime. You'll find out exactly what you're dealing with. And so I'm just being honest here. There's nothing to which they will not stoop, and they have no problem taking some strategic losses. Well, what will happen to our church body if we were to ordain women? Wouldn't we lose some congregations? Wouldn't we lose some pastors? That's considered, what do they call it in the military? Where civilian casualties are part of the equation. You know, acceptable losses. Do you think for a second that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's leadership didn't sit down and calculate how many congregations they thought they were going to lose by ordaining active homosexuals? They were not naive. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They'd counted all the noses. They were willing to do it. They knew they were going to take a hit. It was that important to them. I looked at the statistics, Jeff, of major church bodies lately, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in the last 10 years has lost double digits percentage. And they've done it with their eyes wide open, pursuing this agenda. That's how important their agenda is to them. That's how important it is to promote these unscriptural practices to them. So you say, well, don't they know that they're going to lose a bunch of members? Sure they do. They don't care. We who are proponents of the truth should have such resolve as the proponents of error do. When we say, well, are we going to lose members if we actually teach this thing that the Bible teaches in our churches? You might. Hope you don't, but you might. We should have such resolve as proponents of the truth.
Got a nice email from our friends, the Clagus family up in Canada.
How is she doing, by the way? I hear that Kelly Clagus, she's been a guest on the program, had a really, really difficult childbirth.
Well, her husband, Alex, sent us this email. She said, Kelly Hand wrote me a note to send to you, and she's still stuck in the hospital and away from the computer. Here's what Kelly writes. Hi, this is Kelly from Morden, Manitoba, B. I'm just MB. I don't even know if the M stands for Manitoba. I'm just guessing. MB? What do I know south of the border?
That's Canadian stuff.
MB. Sorry, Canada. Hi, this is Kelly from Morden, MB. I don't even know the abbreviations for the 50 states. I was quizzing one of the Schwartz kids the other nights, and I had a bunch of them wrong. She says, We just had our third child, Timothy, who was born on March 7th. He's at home with my husband, Alex. Right now, March 24th, I'm up in Winnipeg, still in the hospital with lots of complications. I'd been a little bit bored, and when the fog started to clear a little, I finally thought to ask Alex for my iPod, so I've been listening to old Issues Etc. broadcasts up here. The first interview I listened to was Dr. Alvin Schmidt on the influence of Christianity on Western civilization. He had a little to say about how Christians introduce hospitals to their communities, hospitals being unknown to Greek and Roman culture. This was an expression of charity and compassion. It was a good broadcast for me to hear right then. This isn't my ideal way to do on-demand listening, but it does make me glad for the archived programs. It's good to be reminded of the gracious and compassionate Father who works through vocations like doctors to provide care and healing. Blessings to you and your program. On Kelly's behalf, Pastor Alex Klagas.
Well, thank you very much, Alex and Kelly, and thanks for being one of our many beloved on-demand listeners. I'm sorry you have to do it from a hospital bed. I hope you're much, much better. I know it was very serious there for a couple days, and it sounds like you're still not out of the woods, but we pray for your quick recovery and return to health, and thanks for listening. When did we do that series with Dr. Schmidt?
I don't know, but you know, if you would go to the issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and little Google search engine in the upper right-hand corner, you could find it.
Do you think it's she's referencing one of the pre-comebacks shows? Because we actually did a long series with him.
We did a series both at our former place of employment and here.
We did?
Yes, we did.
I've forgotten both. Wow. I have. By the way, I am notorious here at Lutheran Public Radio for not remembering the simplest of things. And that's what you get.
You're too hard on yourself.
That's what you get for having a producer for the last 15 years. Because a producer's job is to remember everything for you. And so your memory, between my wife and my producer, my memory has atrophied. If I were to, and I don't mean any offense to anyone who actually suffers from this terrible malady, but I'll say it, please accept this as tongue-in-cheek. If I were to actually develop Alzheimer's, no one would notice. Few would notice. I wouldn't notice. The guys here wouldn't notice. So, because that's how bad my memory is right now.
Hi, I'm Teresa Gaffer from Maple Grove, Minnesota. And I wanted to let you know how grateful I am to Issues Etc. and how much I appreciate that you reinforce what I hear at my church every Sunday and what a great job you do in providing additional resources and information on our faith. This was made abundantly clear to me this last winter when I misguidedly took a community ed class titled Spirituality and World Religions. I thought it would be a comparative religions type of class, but it ended up being something completely different. I was told that each religion is basically the same because they all profess the idea of love God, love your neighbor. The God they discussed was what I privately referred to as a Stuart Smalley God, because the mantra was, I'm good enough, I'm moral enough, and gosh darn it, God likes me. Well, I knew I couldn't keep quiet, but I needed help with what to say and how to present the truth. Well, then I remembered a book that had once been included in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month feature, a book called The Spirituality of the Cross by Jean Edward Veith. I immediately ordered the book, and it was exactly what I needed. I also searched your website and replayed and re-listened to the interviews you had done with him on this topic. That helped arm me with the words and the tools that I needed. One week, the teacher asked us, what is a spiritual person, and how does a spiritual person behave? The class and the instructor all gave very mushy and moralistic answers, mostly about following the golden rule. But with your help, I was able to make a clear profession of the true Christian faith compared to the watered-down, moralistic Christianity that they had presented. I didn't make many fans when I talked about the three ladders that people use to climb their way up to God, that is, moralism, mysticism, and speculation. They couldn't understand my insistence that I couldn't do it myself, that I couldn't be good enough, I couldn't love God enough. But I was chastised and told that God wouldn't have given us these rules if we weren't able to keep them. But I kept on insisting that I couldn't keep them, and that's why I needed Jesus. But I was dismissed with a, oh, it just can't be that easy. Well, I did all that I could do. I proclaimed law and gospel. But the experience underscored to me what a great help you, your website, and your podcast, and how great they really are. You were there when I needed you, and I really appreciated your help so I could better articulate the truth. Thanks so much. Bye.
Teresa, thank you very much. A very articulate comment, smartest listeners in radio. So, well, that's what we're here for. We have these taglines, like equipping the priesthood of all believers. That's exactly what we're here for. That's got to be turned into a spot, Jeff. That's just absolutely got to be turned
into a spot. Lord Feichninger said that when he heard that this very morning.
See, there you go. Craig's way ahead of me, as usual. He's already three steps ahead of me on these things. And look, I know exactly what it's like. I know exactly what it's like to find yourself in that situation where you say, I know this is wrong, and I know what I want to say, but I don't know how to say it. I know exactly what that's like. And that's why we keep doing what we're doing here on Issues, Etc. And providing those kind of resources like interviews with Dr. Veith and those things that people find so useful in their everyday life in not only the apologetic but also the evangelistic task. I wanted to know whether or not Teresa got a passing grade in the class. I doubt she did with a spirituality like that. Sad to say, that would probably pass for Christianity in some churches today. For the rest of you who want to leave a comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line, it's very easy to do. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Any time of day or night, any day of the week, leave your comments, your criticisms, your show suggestions right there. 618-223-8382.
Here's a post we just received from our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Josh, listening in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada, says, just to let you know, you were correct in saying that MB is Manitoba. No apologies needed. Those Canadians, they're nice people.
They are just kind of almost creepily nice, aren't they? Something about Canada. The water, the air, the mooses, the geese.
Hockey,
snow, French people. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you. I'm gonna sit right.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. In a few minutes, here on Issues, Etc., we'll do Issues, Etc. blog of the week. We found out something during the break. Craig and I have a bond. We're members of the same club. I didn't know that. And I'm just honored to be in any club that had Craig as a member, that we both had college girlfriends, obviously before his current girlfriend's slash fiance, and obviously long before my current wife of 25 years, who were from Canada. And she was a sweet girl. I don't remember a lot except that she introduced me to salt vinegar chips, which were unknown in the United States at the time. They were imported secretly over the Canadian border, and they were delicious. I don't eat them so much anymore because, you know, watching my girlish figure. But other than that, what's next, Jeff?
The most amount.
Jeff's feeling left out because he didn't have a Canadian girlfriend.
No, I had one girlfriend. That was Beth. I didn't like dating until I was ready to get married.
That's what I
advise everybody. I advise all these kids. Don't date until you're ready to get married. Don't date. That's one of my best piece of... That's
really?
My thoughts on dating.
No girlfriends?
No, I didn't know. Uh-uh.
Oh, my goodness.
To me, it was, you know, unless there was an end game in this, what was the point of it, you know?
Can you see him just like going to a bar one night with his buddies and there's a girl who's interested in him? It's like she walks up and says, oh, what's your name? It's like, I'm not interested. There's no end game here. What's my end game? What's the outcome of this? You're not Beth. I'm waiting for Beth.
Hey, no surprise here. The topic this week that garnered the most amount of email is your interview with Pastor Brunel Eckert on the meaning of church music. Nick writes, in any given church service, there are about four hymns. I don't see anything wrong with taking one hymn out and replacing it with one new modern praise song. I wouldn't consider that a bad change. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Nick.
Well, that's got to be a case-by-case thing, doesn't it? Because modern praise song is a pretty big category. So this isn't an issue about whether or not it should be in or out at all. This is an issue of whether or not what you're replacing is equal to or better than, right? When you drive a car, people don't generally put a bald tire on as a replacement for a good tire. Or a tire that's got a leak on as a replacement for a perfectly good tire. You replace bad tires or worn out tires with new tires, right? That's how it works or I'm given to believe among those who use automobiles. And as a general principle, if you're going to replace something in life or in church, what you replace, that what you use to replace the previous thing should be equal to or better than the previous thing, right? So that's the question. Is said modern praise song equal to or better than the hymn that you're replacing? Or are you just replacing it because you can? Which doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, if the goal here is to best proclaim, best serve the proclamation of the word in law and gospel, you're going to be very careful. You're not just going to say, well, this is new. Let's replace the old with the new. New and old is irrelevant when it comes to these things. The question is it as good as or better than? You show me a modern praise song that's as good as or better than the hymn you want to replace, knock yourself out.
Let's take one more on the subject of praise music. This is Pat in Michigan. Pat writes, just a comment about yesterday's talk about church music. I like what Pastor Eckert said about people that have a doctrinally sound background versus people that are not. I played the keyboard in our praise band for 78 years, but no longer do so. For the first 5 to 6 years, I couldn't understand why some people, including my solid in theology mother, were so critical of praise music. I guess I got taken in with the ones that said traditional music and worship is old and stodgy. It wasn't until I really, really started seeing what the words of our traditional Lutheran hymns said that I began to see the inconsistencies in a lot of praise music. Also, one real big thing that I see with praise bands is that it can be a very self-centered thing to belong to a praise band. We love to hear the people say how well we sounded, played, etc. How often does the organist get the same praise? And it seemed like there was always controversy with someone in the praise band, even with the pastor that really pushed for it in our church. I finally got fed up with this self-centeredness and no longer play for it. Our current pastor of the last 2 years has issues with praise music and really doesn't promote it. I love your program. Thanks for the email, Pat in Michigan.
Well, I think that's a story we've heard told by many, not just listeners, but guests on the program, of kind of their flirtation with this stuff. And then as they realize what's going on there. And this is not unique to praise bands, but I think in churches it is very often the case. Praise band, let's face it, folks, it kind of becomes the cool kids club, doesn't it? I mean, for those of you who go to churches where there's a praise band, admit it. It's the cool kids club. You'd like to be in it, but you're not as good looking, or you can't play the guitar as well, and so you're not one of the praise band members. You're just one of the groupies. I'm not saying this is true of every praise band, but it happens, doesn't it? And you know, once you're in, you want to stay in, and once you're up on stage, you want to keep that place. So I can understand why the politics of praise bands would come into play. The best suggestion I've ever heard is, you know, if you really want to test why people are in the praise band, why those people who are in the praise band are in the praise band, if you want to test and see what's going on, you suggest that they move off the stage and to the back of the church. We're going to clear out some of the back pews, move them closer to the front, and we're going to make space in the back or the balcony for the praise band. And you will begin to see in stark relief and detail why some of the members of the praise band are there. It is, as we said on a recent interview here on the program, it is largely about performance. And you notice, the caller said, or the emailer said, how often do organists hear, wow, you guys were rocking today, or something like that? Well, first of all, tell your organist. Thank your organist after every Sunday morning. That's a good thing to do. But it does highlight the fact that the organist is there to serve, not to perform. And there's a big, huge difference between serving and performing.